Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
This is Matt Miller with Bill Lawson for the start of our life study from 2 John. Welcome back, Bill.
Hey, it's good to be back, Matt.
Bill, give a short word to our listeners about the context and background of John's entire ministry, his mending ministry in his gospel and all 3 epistles, and actually his revelation for that matter.
Concerning the mending ministry of John, I think all of us and even all the radio listeners would also agree that in John's 4 writings, you know, his gospel of 21 chapters, and then his epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, they contain a marvelous revelation, a stress even on the very person and work of Christ, that he is the complete God, he is the perfect man, because, Matt, a little background here, after Paul's departure and martyrdom under Nero's reign, the churches at his time were invaded by different heresies, damaging the very glorious person and work of Christ. So John was raised up at the end of the 1st century to combat. So in a sense, we can say his writings are polemical. He's fighting against heresies. They're polemical, and they're combating the heresies that rose up during the time of the Apostle John after the churches were invaded. Some said Christ was God, but not man. He did not have genuine humanity. He was a phantom. Others said he was man, a real man, but he was not God with divinity. Others said that he was Christ, but he was not Christ from the very beginning. He later became Christ. So you have a lot of very funny heresies that rose up during this time. So John came in, as you said, with a mending ministry. In other words, mending the tears and the holes in the sense the church net at his time. And he inoculated the believers in his gospel and first epistles against these heresies. In his 2nd epistle, he prohibited the believers from participating in any way, shape, and form in any heresy concerning Christ. And John's 3rd epistle was written as an encouragement to the believers at his time to support those who were spreading the realities of the divine person and work of Christ.
Well, that's a good introduction, Bill. I think we have a good life study program. I really hope our listeners will stay with us. And now that we're beginning the life study from 2 John, Bill, I'm going to read the first 3 verses to give an introduction. These verses are very good and important to the program. The elder to the chosen lady and to her children, whom I love in truthfulness, and not only I, but also all those who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Here's Witness Lee for the first message from the life study of 2 John.
We come to 2 John. The subject of this book is prohibition of the participation in heresy. What is heresy? Heresy is like the teaching taught by Cyrinthus, also by Docetes, and also by Gnostics. Those teachings were heresy. And this book prohibits us from participating in any kind of Gnostic teaching, Cyrinthian teaching, and Docetes teaching. Christ is both God and man, having both deity and humanity, possessing both the divine nature and the human nature, to express God in human life and to accomplish redemption with divine power in human flesh for fallen human beings, that he may impart the divine life into them and bring them into organic union with God. This is the truth. This is the truth that the second and third epistles of John strives. The second epistle discourages the believer to contact those who do not abide in these truths. But the third encourages the believers to join with the work of those who work for this truth. The apostle loves the receiver in truth. Then verse 3 says, grace, mercy, peace shall be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Truth again. Truth refers to the divine reality of the gospel. Love refers to the expression of the believers in loving one another through receiving and knowing the truth. These two matters are the basic structure of the epistle. The apostle greets and blesses the believers with grace, mercy, and peace based upon the existence among them of these two crucial things. If truth and love do not exist among them, there's no way for them to enjoy grace, mercy, and peace. Grace and mercy and peace could be unto them because the factor is there. What factor? Truth is there. Love is there. So this epistle is on these two things. Truth and love.
Bill, we better stop right here because we've got a lot that we need to digest. This is like a thick steak that we need to chew on.
Really so.
I first enjoyed the bird's eye view of the books of 2nd and 3rd John and how the second epistle can be summarized as discouraging the believers from contact with those who do not abide in the truth. And then the third epistle encourages the believers to join with those who work for this truth. We're going to get into that. It's just kind of an introductory word. Then this last thought that we had was that without this truth and love that's mentioned in verse 3, we could never have grace, mercy, and peace that come from God. So we need to ruminate here on some of these points of the truth.
Right. We need to ruminate. We need to get into it. We need to dwell in these things because they are very profound. Not that many believers even get into epistles of like 2nd and 3rd John and so on. Like you were saying, on one hand, 2nd John warns us and tries to keep us away from those who do not abide in the truth concerning the deity and humanity of Christ, possessing, of course, the two natures and so on. Then the third epistle comes in, and it encourages us to those who are fully in the reality of the truth concerning the person and work of Christ, to help them, to work with them, to support them, to supply them, to do everything they can so that this divine reality can be propagated and spread over the whole earth. And of course, like you were saying here, Brother Lee brings in other matters such as grace, mercy, and peace. It seems like there's all kinds of matters here. But the basis, I think, he's trying to tell us is that we have to have the reality or the divine reality of the gospel concerning the person and work of Christ, that he's the embodiment of the triune God, he's man, he lived, he expressed God in humanity, he was crucified for us, then after his death he became in resurrection the life-giving spirit to impart God's life into us, to bring us into an organic union with him. That's the divine reality we not only need to know objectively, Matt, but we have to have that reality wrought into us, worked into us, built into us, and enjoyed by us, and then when we do, spontaneously, there's an expression of love where we love others, not only other believers, we even love other people who are not believers, not with our natural love or fleshly love, but we love them with the very love of the triune God who has been wrought into us. Then that means then we express the divine reality. We not only know the divine truth, but we live this out, we express this in the divine love for others. other believers, others who are not yet believers. And if we have this as our basis, like he says, if we have the existence of the divine reality and the divine love expressed, then what follows is just grace, mercy, and peace.
I think a lot of the listeners may have a hard time relating, Bill, to some of these matters of the person of Christ or the truth. I mean, it sometimes you get brain freeze. I don't know if that's the word some of our listeners could maybe relate to. And some of these, why do we get into so much detail? Well, you know what? I think the reason we do is because it brings us the things that we can relate to so well. Grace. We want grace.
Right.
We want mercy. We need mercy. And we want peace.
Really so.
But the grace, the mercy, and the peace, the things that we can relate to so easily and want, they come from getting into these matters.
That's right. It's not a doctrine, Matt, like you were saying, or just objective teaching. This very wonderful person of Christ, who is God and man, lived out in humanity, this person we enjoy, we experience. And then out of that comes the grace, out of that comes the mercy, out of that comes the peace.
We've got a lot more to get into, Bill. This is only our first section. Let's go on. We've got a lot more coming. Here's Witness Lee.
Firstly, you have the introduction, loving in truth. According to John's usage, truth here denotes the revealed divine reality. This is the triune God dispensed into man in the Son, Jesus Christ. And this divine reality becomes man's genuineness and sincerity. In such truth, the Apostle John loved the one to whom he wrote. What is this? Simply speaking, this is the sincerity, but not so simple. When we say sincerity, right away we understand this is just a kind of human virtue. Actually, it is not merely a human virtue. Yes, it is. But this kind of human virtue is the issue of the divine reality, which the writer enjoys. And what is the divine reality? That is the triune God. The triune God in this sense, enjoyed by the writer as the divine reality. And out of this enjoyment issues a kind of a sincerity. And this sincerity or the faithfulness actually is God's virtue, God's divine virtue. Because we enjoy God as our reality, and his kind of divine virtue becomes our human virtue. And this human virtue is just sincerity and faithfulness. In the first epistle, we are told that we love one another by God himself as the very love. God is love, so we enjoy this very God as love, and out of this love issues a love through which we love others. And this kind of loving is a love in sincerity. And this sincerity is not our human virtue. It is the issue of our enjoyment of the divine reality.
Bill, it seems like the secret in God's economy is that so much comes out of or issues from the enjoyment of the divine reality. Please help our listeners understand this secret of the divine virtue becoming our virtue.
Brother Lee, of course, uses this word enjoyment a lot, and no other servant of the Lord in my whole Christian life has ever brought this term into realization about the enjoyment of the triune God, the enjoyment of Christ, or the enjoyment of the divine reality. Of course, we know, the Brother Lee has said many times, that divine reality is just the very person and work of Christ, the very triune God embodied in Christ, accomplishing redemption, becoming the Spirit in resurrection, ascending, and so on. All of that person and work of Christ is a divine reality. And in a sense, you know, we have nothing to do with that until we receive and, Matt, we believe into the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we begin to enjoy this rich person, right, all that he is and has done, then we begin to experience this as a subjective experience. The more we experience this, that is made real to us, then all of those attributes of God, or of course, Brotherly here mentioned all of these virtues of God, as they are lived out of us, they become the divine virtues lived out in our human virtues. So that's why he mentioned things like sincerity, genuineness, truthfulness, faithfulness. We think, well, I'm sincere. I'm real with people. I don't have any pretense. Well, it's much more, much deeper than that. It's not just some characteristic that we're born with. We're a real, genuine, sincere person. We know we're not in pretense. It's much more than that, Matt. It's the very divine reality of this person of Christ and his work that is enjoyed by us, partaken of by us, experienced by us, lived out of us. Then when we are sincere, it's not merely human sincerity that's lived out. There's a divine element in our sincerity, right? There's a divine element in our truthfulness. There's a divine element in our very character expressed because the very divine reality is enjoyed and experienced by us and then lived out of us.
Thanks, Bill. I think that's good enough. I think I have to encourage our listeners again. They really need to get the printed materials. I mean, I feel like we're scratching the surface of something here that's very helpful. And for those lovers and seekers of the Lord that want to get into this more, I'm just going to refer them to the life study, the printed messages. Let's go on to the final section here, Bill, with Witness Lee. I'd like to read, before we get into it, the verse, because we're going to borrow from 1 John life study message number 28 with this last section. This is actually a verse from 1 John. It's 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. I feel like it fits really well with this message here in 2 John, so we're going to borrow it for this time. In this we know that he laid down his life on our behalf, and we ought to lay down our lives on behalf of the brothers. But whoever has the livelihood of the world and sees that his brother has need and shuts up his affections from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and truthfulness. Here's Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
We have known the example of love. Christ laid down his life. That means the Lord Jesus laid down his soul for us. He died not laying down his Zoe life for us, but he laid down his soul. That means the human life for us. We ought to lay down our lives on behalf of the brothers. That means if necessary, we need to die for the brothers. We do have such a loving life that longs to die for others. And we can do it because we have such a life. Let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and truth. This is to love the brothers not only in sincerity, but also in reality. That means in the very divine reality that becomes our virtue. So faithful, so honest, and so sincere, and so real. We should love the brothers in this way. Of course, this kind of truth includes that you love them with solid things, not with vain word, with your money, with your clothing, with your food. This is the right meaning, but you shouldn't just understand truth as a kind of human virtue. No, this is not just a human virtue. It is the divine reality becoming our human virtue. It is more than human sincerity. It is the very expression of what God is. In our loving of the saints, we also express God.
Bill, in our loving of the saints, we express God, not just in vain words, but in practical things like money, clothing, and food. It's very practical, isn't it?
Very practical. Earlier, we were talking about the revealed divine reality, which is the very triune God lived out of us with his attributes becoming our human virtues. And of course, that's expressed through things like genuineness, sincerity, truthfulness, faithfulness, honesty, things like this. But I'm glad you brought these verses out back in 1 John 3, because it's more than just being a sincere person with the divine reality of sincerity. It's a kind of living that is expressed practically in things like you mentioned, like a financial supply, food supply, clothing, a car, loaning things, or whatever is involved. It's because this divine reality is expressed, it's revealed. Again, the more we enjoy this divine reality, the more we live out this kind of sincere, genuine living, and that includes practical help that you mentioned.
Thank you very much for being with us, Bill. Our time's up. This is Matt Miller. Thanks for joining us today on Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee.